lead us. We continue this study on boundaries. Last week we talked about personal boundaries and knowing what we will and will not do for our own self. And today we look at relational boundaries, setting limits with other people so that we're not taken advantage of and people are not walking all over our life and trying to please everyone all the time. It's very important as Christians that we set up a boundary, that there are some posted signs in our life, there are some fences, there are some walls that we say, no way, we won't go there, we're not going to do that, we're not going to allow you to operate that way in our life. Listen, no one can make you feel anything. So if someone is making you feel a certain way, and that's what the word we like to use, you make me feel angry, you make me frustrated. Listen, no one can make you feel anything. You feel something because you're allowing something to take place in life, and it frustrates you, it makes you angry. And your reaction is a feeling. Own that feeling and do something about it. So we set up boundaries with people so that people will understand what we will go for and what we will not go for. And probably we've let our boundaries down a lot with other people. We've let some people walk all over us and they take advantage of us. Listen, kids do that a lot in our lives and we allow it. Next week is Father's Day and we talk about boundaries with kids. But we have to be the people to be responsible enough to set up boundaries with others in our life. People at work, people inside of our home, people at church, relationships that we have. We have to let them know what we will and will not stand for. We don't have to be ugly about it. We just have to be consistent about it. And we consistently hold up a certain way. It's amazing how word gets around real fast. And they'll say, oh, don't even go ask her. She won't do it. Don't bother him. You know his answer already. That's a good thing. Amen. That is a good thing. But for most of us, we oftentimes crumble under a little pressure. Well, they just ask us, you know, and I just felt sorry for him. I just wanted to do it. You know what? So it messes up our whole weekend. So they can have fun on their weekend. Guilty. Or we'll take on an extra job, extra work, extra this. We're blowing our time while they're going out. Having a good time. And all they've done was take advantage of your goodness and your kindness and your generosity that you would normally do for someone. But there are certain people that will take advantage of it. But listen, we taught them that they can take advantage of us. So we have to reteach them how that we will not stand for everything. And we do it in a loving Christian way that helps them and helps us. If you have your Bibles, turn with it to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Tony Gaskin said, you teach people how to treat you by what you allow, what you stop, and what you reinforce. So we are the ones who are responsible for teaching other people. You know what? If we want a healthy relationship with someone, we have to have healthy boundaries. We do not have healthy boundaries, we will not have healthy relationships. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 27. The writer of Proverbs says this, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention to gain and understanding. I give you sound learning so that you do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with your heart, keep my commands and you will live. Give wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Boundaries is wisdom. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you to the way of wisdom, and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the ways of the evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, and you can underline this in your Bible, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. What the word you did not see in that whole passage is boundaries. And that's exactly what he's talking about, is giving direction in our life, keeping our foot going straight forward. Know this, that even Jesus Christ had boundaries in his life. Go back and read the instances that he had people, that he was healing people. He always slipped away when he began to get tired. When enough was enough, he got off on the boat and went off by himself. Maybe took his disciples. Even in the sight of his disciples, there were few, only Peter, James, and John, that he spent time with in a very private moment, and the rest had to wait all elsewhere. Jesus had boundaries. God has boundaries with us. Remember the Ten Commandments? There are certain things that God will allow and will not allow us to do. Boundaries are a part of our life. So if we can begin to comprehend that and allow it to settle down, we too as believers must establish boundaries. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you give us wisdom, you give us insight. God, give us the courage now that we need to set boundaries with those that we love, people that we work with, those around us in our life. God, so many times we're frustrated, we're angry, we're resentful because, God, we've allowed other people to trample all over us. God, we've never taught them how to treat us. And, Father, I pray today that you strengthen your people, not only to hear your word, but be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The key to upholding boundaries is to be consistent in what we do day after day with people around us. So there are four markers I want to share with you hurriedly this morning. The first marker is this: protect yourself. The reason that you establish boundaries in your life, and I establish them in my life, is to protect ourselves. See, personal, these relational boundaries are set to protect yourself from the dysfunctions of others who have no boundaries. So the very reason we establish boundaries in our life is because we don't know who out there has good boundaries and who doesn't. And I guarantee you this, most people don't. Most people do not have good boundaries, if any at all. Verse 1 and 2 says, my children, when your father corrects you, listen when your father corrects you, pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instruction. See, establishing relationship boundaries is simply good judgment. Protect ourselves. We assume too much. We think other people are emotionally healthy, and would treat us right and would treat us fair. But you know, and I know time and time again, how many times have people taken advantage of you and you just crumbled under it, allowed them to do it. They've asked you to work and you work so they could go off and do whatever they wanted to do, thinking they would do the same thing for you. But when you wanted to take off, oh no, they had some things to go on. They couldn't take your place. You know, and inside your family it happens. Work happens. Friends, it happens. We believe that other people have our well-being in mind, when in actuality, they may be seeking time, affirmation, attention, or even affection from us that is not theirs. Too often we wait until people invade our space and use us before we decide to set up a boundary. And when we get tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that constant drain on our time, our energy, and our finances, we finally decide to do something. It's time to stand up for ourselves, and sadly, we've already taught them that we are being pushovers. So we have to reteach them how to treat us. We've already allowed them what we will and will not do, and most of the time, it's more or less what we will do. So if we're to teach people how to treat us, and we've already taught them that we will basically fall for anything that they want in our lives or need from us, we have a long way to go. We have a long way to go to reteach them something that we've taught them wrong. So we've already taught people that we are pushovers and we will bow to their manipulation and sob stories. By the time we are so mad at other person's behavior, we can use our boundary as a form of punishment. Sometimes people see our boundaries coming up now, and boy, they think they're being punished for something. And if we're angry about it, we can actually come off pretty harsh rather than just firm and resolved that this is the way that my life will be, and this is the way you will treat me, and this is the way you will act toward me. We can actually come out very vengeful if we're not careful, Christians. And that's not the way that we want to come off. We don't want to come off hard, harshly, and offend people. We must erect boundaries in such a way that we try to maintain the relationship if possible. You and I are not punishing anyone. We're protecting ourselves from being consumed by the wants and needs of others. People who fail to set up boundaries allow anyone into their lives, and they lose control of their lives and often simmer in resentment and anger. It is not rude, mean, or selfish to set up boundaries to teach others how to treat you properly. See, your boundaries are to help you. You need them, and you need not apologize to anybody for having them. You don't need to apologize to your children, to your spouse, to your best friends, to your parents. You don't need to apologize to anyone to have boundaries in your life. They're for you, and they're for your protection. It was said that the lack of boundaries invites the lack of respect. Can you say that honestly? Yes. That the lack of boundaries in our lives proves that other people really don't respect us. Over and over again. See, it was said to start attracting healthy people into our life, we must set healthy boundaries. If we want healthy people in our lives, we have to have healthy boundaries. If we want to allow anyone in our life, it's usually unhealthy people with no boundaries or very weak boundaries themselves, and we don't have good boundaries set up, they're going to come in and out, and we're going to look just like them and act just like them. So we set up boundaries for ourselves. We set up boundaries with other people to let them know what we will and will not stand for and how that they are to treat us. We must teach them that. People teach other people how to treat them. And like I say, if we've allowed them to run all over us, we've taught them that. We've taught them that we'll fold for anything that they want and they need. And they're happy. They're happy to run all over us because their needs are being met while we are suffering. We're the ones upset. We're the ones who are drained of energy. We're the ones who are spending our time doing senseless stuff for them and not for ourselves. The second marker we see is just say no. That's not only a drug thing, you know. Not only say no to drugs, but it also say no to people. It's a healthy word. It's a statement. No is a complete statement. Saying no tells other people or tells others that you care about yourself and refuse to allow anyone to disrespect you and your personal space. Just telling people no. Listen, it's a simple word that can really be used as a statement, but it takes a lot of courage to say it. It just takes some courage on our part to be bold enough to tell somebody, no, I can't. No, I won't. No, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. What do you mean you want to use my car? No. No, I don't have that money to loan you. And I know I definitely don't have that money to give you. We see in verse 14 and 15, it says, don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep on moving. That's saying no. Saying no. Saying no means that you know your limits. You know what's good for you and what's not good for you. You know how much you can handle and how much you can't. It's really just knowing about your limits. Saying no is a necessary part of establishing, maintaining relational boundaries. We often have difficult time with this little word because we fear what others will think about us. We don't want anyone to dislike us. I kind of touched on that last week. We tell people no, or we're afraid to tell them no because we want to be liked by everyone. We don't want people talking about us. We want to know that we're working together with them, because if we tell them no, they're going to react in a very hostile or negative way, or they're going to go gossiping about us, and yes, they will do that. Grow up. You're an adult. You can handle some words. It's okay. They'll go off and say some things, but in a little while they'll quit because you haven't budged. And they're only acting selfishly because you didn't meet their needs or their wants or their desires. But you know what? You're having a good time this weekend. Why? Because you get to spend it with your family. You get to spend it doing what you want to do. Listen, that's not being selfish. That's being guarded. Saying no. See, among teenagers, I learned this as a youth pastor, and having some teenagers of my own, and several years ago I was a teenager, and that's getting further and further along. But among teenagers, the opinions of friends seem to be more important than obedience to parents. Parents, I want you to know that. Students, teenagers, value the opinions of their friends more than obeying what you've told them to do or not to do. If something happened because this growth into adolescence and this changing in mindset and going from a tactile learner and a concrete learner to abstract and thinking for themselves a little bit, they value that group of friends that they have, whether it's a school, whether it's a church, wherever it may be, they value what those friends do and what they think about them. They love you, but they're branching out into their own independence. And when they're branching out into their own independence, listen, if we have not established good boundaries and helped them get good boundaries, they'll walk into this area and they will do all sorts of things just to have their friends like them. When teens are faced with peer pressure, they don't have defined boundaries. They have a difficult time navigating all through the many challenging situations they will face. Saying no to their friends' invitation to go against their values becomes a hard thing to resist, and no seems to be a foreign term to them. Except when you ask them to do something. It's amazing how even in a teenager's life, if we do not help them establish those boundaries and learn how to say no, they'll take that into high school, and boy, they'll find themselves going to all sorts of places that they shouldn't and getting involved in things that they shouldn't and acting a certain way in school that they shouldn't, that you've taught them not to do. Simply because they don't have good boundaries. What's troubling, folks, is when you look at their parents, many times their parents don't have good boundaries. And the teenagers are only acting what they see at home. That stings a little bit, doesn't it? Kids are only fulfilling what they see at home. Now listen, I know kids have a mind of their own. Teenagers can think for themselves and they can do a lot of things. Even though you plant and you give them a foundation, you give them boundaries. When they're away from you, they're like, free at last, free at last. And sometimes they forget about those things. I had a parent ask me several years ago when I was youth pastor, said, Pastor Kevin, a kid was giving them some problems and they said, you know, What kind of spiritual advice can you give me to help him through this? And get through him. I said, just get him through it without too many scuffs. Just get them through it. They're going to have some scuffs. They're going to have some nicks. They're going to have a few scratches through their teenage years. Just get them through it. Help them establish some boundaries in their life. Many adults, too, seem to have a difficult time saying no, and many have a struggle accepting no. We must make no a valuable part of our vocabulary. Why? Because whatever you are willing to put up with is exactly what you will have. Whatever you are willing to put up with in your life is exactly what you will get. If you put up with people crossing over into your life and taking your time up, emotionally draining you, borrowing and using your money, borrowing and using things that are yours, and if you just allow them to trample over because you don't want to start a conflict, you don't want no drama. It's not drama. Don't be mad when your time is consumed. You're full. You don't have any energy. And people owe you this, and people owe you that, and you've allowed them to do that. Whatever you are willing to put up with is exactly what you will have. A few thoughts about how to address the necessity of no to those who do damage to our peace and our boundaries. The first is this. Tell people that, listen, I'm not going there with you. Whatever there and wherever there is, if someone is doing something that pulls you down and it's not helpful, then don't go there with them. Just don't go there. Draw a healthy boundary with that person or a specific issue because you desire to honor God. Listen, you want to be a godly person, a godly man, a godly woman. And listen, if there are some people that want to draw you down, just don't go there with them. Don't go over that subject with them again. Say no. Second thing is this. I'm not going to talk about that with you. Say no to gossip. Telling dirty jokes, trashing your husband or your wife, ranting on Facebook. No amens, but it's there. Don't air out your dirty laundry on some form of social media. Listen, it's okay not to have to express everything all the time. I'm not going to talk about that with you. Don't get involved in gossip. If someone is gossiping, walk away or just shut them down. Says, listen, maybe we need to call them if we want to talk about them. You know, if we're going to talk about them, they need to be here. Because if they're not here, they can't defend themselves. Third thing is this. I won't let you talk to me or treat me that way. Allowing people to disrespect you with their language, with their tone of voice, with their facial expressions, listen, rolling their eyes, their body language, all of this sets a tone for what you're willing to accept from other people. If you're allowing people to disrespect you with their words, but not only with their words, but with their actions, with their tone of voice, with their facial expressions, rolling their eyes at you, all of that. If you allow that to go on, you get what you get. Needs to be a boundary there. Tell them, I won't let you talk to me that way. If need be, it's okay to give them the stop sign. Wait, I'm not going to let you talk to me that way. I'm not going to listen to you while you're doing this. You can go. I'm not even putting up with it. And listen, sometimes the stop sign has to turn into a directional sign. Especially when they're 15, 16 years old. I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating discipline. Saying no to unhealthy attitudes and behaviors will restore boundaries and peace. Listen, manipulative people do not understand the concept of boundaries. They're relentless in their pursuit of what they want, and they have no regard for who gets hurt along the way. We must learn to say no for our own well-being. We also see in verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We must guard our hearts, and we must guard against people trampling over our hearts. The third marker is this: creating space from toxic people. Relational boundaries have a unique way of filtering from your life toxic people who drain your emotional energy. Filtering from our life toxic people. I guarantee you this, you set up the boundary and you consistently uphold that boundary, toxic people will know not to go to you because you won't falter for them. You won't fall again and again. Verse 16 and 17 says, for evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. The people you have around you, the people you hang around with will affect you. Toxic people can have a corrupting influence in our life. Toxic people actually poison relationships. They're by their attitude and their word and their behaviors. It all acts as venom in our life. When a snake bites its victim, that venom begins to spread and that victim begins to get sick. And if not treated properly, depending on the venom and how much was in, that victim could even die. A toxic person in our life acts just like that venom. It begins to poison our relationship with them, but not only our relationship with them, but our relationship with other people, including our spouse. That toxic environment is not healthy to grow in, and we'll find ourselves completely miserable as long as toxic people are with us. They get under our skin and they affect everything in us and around us. They simply create bad relationships and they sabotage many around them. Unfortunately, we all have people in our lives who leave us feeling emotionally exhausted. Have you ever got off the phone with somebody like, I'm tired? And you're not the pastor. Listen, we all have people in our life that just drain us. And it could be a phone call. It could be somebody we see at work. It could be somebody in our school. Somebody in our household. It, all over. There are people that just like, it's like a burden. It's a heavy weight. Basically, we find three types of toxic people. The first one is this: the person who is negative, critical, and judgmental. These are people who seem to have to always be complaining about something. They nag and criticize people and situations, the weather. Even their tone of voice is draggy and filled with cynical overtones. Nothing is ever good enough. Regardless of how well things went, how much money you've spent on them or have been spent on them, how special others have tried to make them feel and how important they've tried to make them feel, There's always something wrong. Listen, that gets old. If you're investing and investing and investing and it's never enough. They're just negative. Just not good enough, and when they're not happy, everyone else is to blame. They blame other people for their lack of happiness. Negative, cynical, critical, judgmental people are toxic. The second one is this: a controller who is overbearing, demanding, and selfish. Again, everyone has someone in mind right now, right? And it's probably not ourselves. Really? The controller poisons their relationships through toxic behavior, manipulation, or intimidation to get their way. The controller uses tantrums and threats of self-harm and anger and self-pity and twisting up comments and dishonesty to get their way. Whatever it takes to have their selfish wants fulfilled, the controller will do it. The controller is toxic to a relationship where boundaries are not well established. Avoid being compliant to a controller and to the critic who are compliant. Though when we are compliant, we enable the controller to keep intimidating and manipulating to get their way. And the critic continues to poison your peace with negativity and complaining. We need boundaries to filter out the people who need change in their life to have a healthy relationship with us. The third thing is the tempter. The one who consistently offers propositions that are against our moral values and principles. These are people who tempt us to do things against our Christian teaching, against the things that we know that to be right and wrong. And there are people in our lives, listen, I feel for people who are single today because there's so many temptations for them to get involved in. There's so many things luring them away. And listen, church, we've not done a very good job of connecting in with single people. Let's be honest. And we've just basically set them on our course for whatever. We've not helped them align themselves with godly principles, with godly people, so they can understand and know that as they face the challenges of the world, even though they're alone, even though they're single, that those challenges do not have to overwhelm them and tempt them and lead them astray. The tempter does not respect what you believe or stand for as a Christian. They will poison your character by diverting you away from God to follow passions and desires that are not for you or good for you. If a person does not respect your boundaries and continue to tempt or criticize or try to control you, it's time to dismiss them from your life. Their poison cannot continue to spread in you. Cut off the toxic relationship by creating space from them through your own boundaries. You would teach them what you stand for by creating a safe distance from them. Elizabeth Saunders said this: people who violate your boundaries are thieves. They steal time that doesn't belong to them. Jill Blackway said this. Says, when a toxic person can no longer control you, they would try to control how others see you. The misinformation will feel unfair, but stay above it, trusting that other people will eventually see the truth just like you did. As I hurry to point number four, set appropriate consequences. Establishing boundaries are only recognized by others when there's appropriate consequences for its violation. Listen, when you establish boundaries in your life, and someone wants to violate, somebody wants to cross over, somebody wants to abuse you or use you or your time or whatever it may be, that boundary needs to have a consequence. I wish we could put a hot wire on it. You know, when they go to cross, they feel the sting a little bit. There has to be a consequence for it when somebody violates our boundary. Verse 26, 25 and 26 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe pathway. I think about golfing, and I don't golf too much, but I like to watch it every now and then. And I see this, you know, a fairway, and you have woods on either side, the trees, and you have to hit the ball between those things, and there's an out-of-bounds area on each side. If you go out of bounds, it will cost you something. Listen, in our own life, and we set up boundaries, that's kind of like our fairway. This is where everything is safe, but we go out of bounds or other people come out of bounds, there's a penalty. There's a cost. Givers have to set limits because takers rarely do. Emma Kurtz said, mark out a straight path is if your boundaries are clearly marked out and there are consequences to any and to all who do not respect them. And the consequences should increase until those in your life abide by your boundaries. Stop asking why people keep doing and start asking why you keep allowing it. Stop asking why people quit abusing or keep abusing you or taking advantage of you and start asking yourself, why do I allow this to go on? Why do I allow it to take place? And do something about it. Setting up those boundaries with consequences, whatever those consequences may be. Set them up light first, and if they continue to violate those boundaries, make it a little more difficult, make it a little more harsh of a consequence. Hot wires are not permitted. The last thought is this, and I'm closing. People with no boundaries of their own have no respect for yours. Beware the free spirit who sneers at your reserve. They know what you guard is precious, and they are out to take it from you. Boundaries in our relationships with other people. Not only our personal boundaries that we looked at last week, what we will and will not do, but what we will allow others to do. And we have to teach them how to treat us. If we fail to do so, then there's no one else to blame but us. If we're feeling like people are trampling over us and taking advantage of us, then we're the ones to do something about it. Don't expect their behaviors to change because they're getting satisfied. They're being fulfilled. Everything is going their way. We are the ones to take responsibilities as godly men and godly women to have healthy boundaries. And over time, listen, a healthy boundary will begin to create healthy relationships. Unhealthy boundaries, well, we get what we got. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, I thank you for your people. God, I thank you that you and your word teaches us, even Jesus had boundaries with people. God, you had boundaries with us. There are things we should and should not do. Father, teach us to be courageous enough to set boundaries with others in our life. God, so oftentimes we find